The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We are here today because we must never forget what happened on January 6th, 5 years ago. Those who try to make up myths about it were not there. We were. Most of us. Donald Trump showed what a low human being he is by his actions. He is stunning in his maliciousness and his dishonesty. Let us remember the attack of January 6th is not over. It lives on in the threats to our election workers. It lives on through those who want to take away our right to vote.
Capitol Police and D.C. officers stood on these very steps. For more than 5 hours, they were forced to engage in hand-to-hand combat, confronting thousands of bloodthirsty rioters who were unleashed by Donald Trump. They were beaten with pipes, whipped, assaulted by bear spray, and pummeled by Confederate flagpoles. They were bloodied, but unbowed. We owe these heroes an eternal debt of gratitude. Had it not been for their bravery on that fateful day, many of us would not be alive right now. And I have a simple message for the violent mob of insurrectionists. Donald Trump may have pardoned your crimes, but only God can pardon your sin. Now I ask everyone to join us in a moment of silence to remember those whose lives were lost as a result of the tragic and horrific events of January 6, 2021.
I have to apologize. I completely forgot that yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of the deadliest, worst, most violent day in human history. How could I have possibly forgotten January 5th, 2026? Sorry, I didn't even get the date right. January 6th, the most important day, according to the Democrats. You see there just how pathetic that party has become. Many people were just laughing at them. It was embarrassing watching them behave that way. The moment of silence, the candlelit vigil, trying to sing. You've got Al Green over there waving his cane around as he's singing. He has to wave the cane around because he got in trouble waving that in Congress because it was a violent act. But he said that he does that all the time, even though he never did it before then. So now he's got to make sure he's always waving the cane around. I mean, it's just everybody is so sick and tired of America's leadership, really on both sides. People are craving righteous leadership. I think we probably covered that 5-year anniversary appropriately enough yesterday by ignoring it. playing a show that highlighted some things about sports. Now, again, it is an important day. It's an important day because it was a day that Democrats used as a pretext to launch all of their attacks against Americans, against the grandmothers who trespassed in the Capitol on January 6th. That day was the backbone of Joe Obama's attack over those following 4 years, his attack on United States citizens. We saw the pre-dawn raids, families waking up to rifles being pointed at their children. It was abominable. It was an affliction. It was horrifying to see that. And all of those Democrats standing right there were fine without due process, were fine with these people being put in jail for years without a trial. The process was the punishment. Again, like I said, it's humiliating watching all politics, watching the way our leaders behave on both sides of the aisle. People are crying out for leadership. We'll talk a little bit about this story in Minnesota with Tim Walz. I forgot to say welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston. I will be your guest host on today's show. Bear with me one more day. Hopefully, I think Mr. Fleury said that he plans to be back on tomorrow's show, Thursday's show. He should be back with you live tomorrow. Again, just coming out of the ministerial conference, and then Armstrong College classes are starting up. So there's a lot to gear up and prepare for. I mentioned the Celtic Throne Tour as well. If you're in the Midwest, Chicago, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Indiana, you can visit CelticThrone.com and look up tickets there as well. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com. It's a bit of a grab bag today. We'll end today's show with the second episode of the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ podcast. That program's titled Blow the Dust Off Your Bible. So we'll end today's show with playing that podcast from Mr. Fleury. This fraud in Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz, who almost became the vice president of the United States of America, and many said if they had won that election, none of this fraud would be uncovered. And now you're seeing just how rotten every aspect of American society is. He announced that he will not be running for governor, but he's also taking a stand and he won't resign. He won't step down. There is just corruption everywhere in this country. It's not just Minnesota. I saw one chart that was looking at just how much voter fraud there is in Minnesota. It hasn't been as competitive of a state like Georgia, where you've got a strong Republican arm that can help sort of expose that. But in Minnesota, just the amount of fraud that goes on in the big cities, in the machine, in Minneapolis. And the chart showed if you just rule out all of these fraudulent ballots, Minnesota's a red state. Here's a clip from Jesse Waters talking about just the fraud and corruption going on there, and Donald Trump stepping in to address a bit of it. Clip one.
Did you have a good morning? Minneapolis sure did. They woke up on thin ice. 2,000 agents hit the ground running. It's the largest Homeland Security operation in history. The streets were icy, but the questions were hot. DHS is going full Doge. They're going around asking businesses, so you got this much money, what'd you do with it? You'd think this was already standard practice. It wasn't. Biden approved a rule that handed billions to child care centers with no attendance checks. No wonder fraud exploded. Trump ended that today, but the damage has already been done. Independent journalists are putting in the work while the legacy media, they look the other way. They would have crowned Walz VP and buried one of the biggest scandals of the decade. So it's no surprise they're bitter Bettys.
Why are we being subjected to a federal government that makes policy based on internet influencers? That is the sort of larger problematic issue here. Before we even get into the idea that you're pulling back child care funds.
Yeah, they should be thanking Shirley. But that'd go against everything they stand for. Democrats have been blindly handing out your money for years. So they're not going to go down without a fight. Texas just cracked open a case, and California's feeling a chill.
Got to straighten this out before it gets too crazy. California is more corrupt than any place. California is more corrupt than Minnesota.
We think that this is just the tip of the iceberg. So Minnesota is unbelievable what we've seen, but it is leading us to networks all over the country and overseas, and we're going to follow every single one of them.
It is everywhere. Minnesota is easy to pick on. It's so obvious. If there's just one government auditor would go and say, okay, we sent these checks to the Leering Center. Hey, we gave you $2.5 million. We're just going to come in for a day, make sure you actually are watching some kids in there. And then that Shirley video, I mean, it was 45 minutes long. He goes through these office buildings, not the daycare centers, and all of these insurance companies where they're just front offices because they need an address. It's like that everywhere. The Medicaid, Medicare scams are in every state because the government just blindly hands out these checks to these companies. There's no vetting, there's no auditing, there's no following up on how that money is actually being used. And it's ruining everything. It ruins insurance because the insurance companies know, well, we'll just charge whatever because we know the government is going to subsidize it. All of the hospitals and doctors overcharge everything because they know, okay, well, the insurance companies have it, and the insurance companies don't care because they get the Obamacare. And you see just what a curse that is for our nation. But like we covered a couple episodes ago, some of these curses are being restrained temporarily, not because there's this religious revival, not because people are turning to righteousness, but because God wants to give our nations one more chance to repent. And he's making it really apparent. He's not just giving some extra time. He's showing a lot of corruption. He's showing a lot of rot and saying, well, how are you going to respond to that? It's not just a matter of blaming politicians. It's not just a matter of blaming leaders. You've got to look at yourselves. How did we allow this? Why is God allowing it? You know, in each of these cases, you get the leaders that you deserve. We all have to look at ourselves. Deuteronomy 28, it's that another blessings and cursing chapter, along with Leviticus 26. Verse 43 of Deuteronomy 28 says, "The stranger that is within thee shall get thee up very high, and you shall come down very low." That's one of those curses. We're seeing it being restrained or held back a little bit. With all of these Somalian fraudsters being exposed, with Maduro and all of the illegal immigration and the gangs, that's being restrained for a little while, but you see just how bad it is, and how do you respond? This isn't President Trump's doing. It's God saving the United States, saving it temporarily by the hand of Jeroboam, by the hand of Trump. But Trump is not leading the nation back to repentance. He's not leading the nation back to what God is looking for. This entire nation is sick. You just look at, I mean, back to this Venezuela story, and Donald Trump took out a dictator who's a threat to the United States, a dictator who supplies oil to our greatest enemies, gives their leaders safe harbor right on our doorstep. Democrats run to, it's illegal, he shouldn't be doing that, this is terrible. And again, it's a complicated story, but just in keeping it simple, he's a bad guy, he's attacking the United States, and God gave this country a lot of power, let's use it so we don't have to deal with these problems. Again, look at how divided our country is. You've got one side of the aisle where they will defend anything to avoid agreeing with Donald Trump. They'll defend dictators if they have to. You could say, even just in terms of democracy, Donald Trump is probably the most pro-democratic president in this century. January 6th was about fighting election fraud, cleaning up America's election system, Now, democracy isn't the answer. Democracy isn't the way. But Venezuela, Maduro blatantly rigged an election. The whole world knew it. Donald Trump says we got to have free and fair elections. Just getting into that Venezuela story a little bit more, it's amazing the more detail we learn about that story, just how strong and powerful the United States is. Venezuela isn't just acting by itself. China and Russia prop that country up a lot. You could say that was an attack in many ways on China and Russia and on Iran. The United States sent in 150 U.S. aircraft in action in those 3 hours from 11 p.m. Friday night to 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. Saturday morning. 150 U.S. aircraft. They were bombing these radar towers. They were clearing the way. They were talking about even having the Space Force involved monitoring this whole thing. I mean, the power that the United States has been blessed with is so immense, it's hard to comprehend it. Those aircraft were launched from 20 different bases. No other nation on the planet could carry out an operation like that far from their coast. Venezuela, it's got the biggest oil reserves in the world. As Donald Trump has said, I can skip this clip, but he's just talking about how the United States is going to go in there and fix the infrastructure, the oil infrastructure in Venezuela, and now Venezuelan oil is going to be coming to the United States. This is a big problem for the axis of evil nations. It's a big problem for Iran, for Russia and China. This does play into this resurgence. A lot of people are excited, but like I just mentioned, it's all in vain if there isn't any repentance. Notice how excited these people are just about what the United States is going through right now, what Trump is doing. This is a clip from Fox Business about how potentially great this next year could be. Clip 8.
Some economists, Wall Street, who are kind of, I don't know, tail between their legs, but they're saying supply of oil is vastly greater now than the demand for oil. That's how far this thing has gone. That means prices have to keep falling.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be reflected in these multiples, and it's going to be reflected in stock market records, and it's going to be reflected in wages, and it's going to be reflected in, I think, negative inflation coming up.
It could be a huge year. We were saying it right at the start of the Russia-Ukraine war. One of the best ways to fight Russia without getting into a hot war is to pump a lot of U.S. oil and drive down the price of oil, because that's all those nations have. And now they're popping open their reserves in Venezuela. They'll flood the market if Russia's running out of money. All of those Persian Gulf nations lose power that way as well. It could be a big year. A lot of people excited. A lot of people turning to Donald Trump as the man to solve their problems. But again, like we say over and over again, that's not what God is after. Repentance is the only way out of these problems. Look at Europe's response to all of these things. You would think, well, pro-democracy Europe, they'd be happy to see Donald Trump, their American ally, go and take out a communist autocrat who helps Russia. But no, they can't be seen agreeing with Donald Trump. And there's a lot of jealousy. I think they would watch what the United States did Saturday morning, seeing the firepower, the technology that America possesses, and there's probably a lot of jealousy. They want to be able to do that. They want to be a superpower. They want to be able to do what Donald Trump just did in Venezuela. This, again, is the trend we have to watch, is Europe becoming a superpower, Germany becoming a superpower. Notice this clip from Deutsche Welle News, clip 5.
Well, that controversial and likely illegal U.S. raid to remove Nicolas Maduro has left world leaders wondering which country or territory is likely to be Donald Trump's next target. The U.S. president has said he wants to take back the Panama Canal, make Greenland part of the U.S., and address Cuba.
A military raid and a foreign leader in handcuffs. Is this Donald Trump's new normal, and who could be his next target?
The likely illegal raid. I don't know how that's determined. I don't know what international law is, but the United States needs to protect itself from these enemy nations. But you just see Europe, you see that bitterness. Jeremiah calls it a seething pot. And this story, he mentioned in there, Greenland. Okay, well, Donald Trump, he's shown that he'll take what he wants. And Greenland's next, and all the Europeans are saying, well, that's an act of war. If Donald Trump goes and takes Greenland, a big, big ice cube with a few thousand people living on it, that's a declaration of war, and NATO's over. Now, Donald Trump, he very well could go and take it, but is that really a declaration of war? Are the Europeans just playing that up because they want an excuse to break up NATO? They want an excuse to build their own power, and now they look at Donald Trump and they look at the United States and they say, well, there's an enemy nation. Look, they're attacking Greenland. That's an assault on Denmark. We have to activate Article 5 of NATO. It's time for us to be a superpower and to turn on the United States. I had another, I can skip this clip as well, but it's just Jesse Waters talking about taking over Greenland, taking that from Denmark, who doesn't use it. It's basically just turned into a huge nature reserve. I think the U.S. military or Air Force even has a few bases in Greenland already. And what Trump's approach is, well, we want to control this hemisphere, so we want Greenland, we want Venezuela, we want Panama, and Europe, you mind your own business. You start building your superpower and take over that section of the world. But certainly taking Greenland is not an attack on Europe. They're talking about this like it's Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine. Notice this is from France 24, their reaction to Donald Trump potentially stealing Greenland, clip 7.
How would NATO be likely to react to such a move if Donald Trump were to move on Greenland?
Well, that nobody knows, because formally it would be an attack against one member. But the reaction should escalate to the NAC, the NATO Atlantic Council. But the main ally, the main power in NATO, is the US. So what happens if the main ally becomes the main hostile? Nobody knows.
What happens if the main ally becomes the main hostile? As if they're dealing with China or Russia or Iran. That's how they view the United States. He said that will be viewed as an attack against one member. Mr. Fleury, we've quoted this article often, Germany and Russia's secret war against America. This is from September 2018. Nord Stream 2 binds Russia and Germany together in a way that undermines NATO. In fact, though Russia and Germany will not say so, this pipeline project is clearly intended to wreck NATO. Now, Trump is moving that along with this sort of talk, but the reality of it is it's a pretty tame move. It's not a NATO-destroying thing to say, hey, you're a member nation, spend a little bit more. Hey, we want to actually use Greenland. Mr. Fleury says, why would these nations want to do that? Well, it is easy to see why Russia would. Russian President Vladimir Putin views NATO as a force that restricts Russia's rise and slows down his quest to rebuild the old Soviet Empire. He has made no secret of his loathing for the U.S.-led organization, so his reason for wanting to unravel it is plain. What is not as obvious is the fact that Germany also wants to eliminate NATO. They're looking for every excuse they can get. And again, Trump is giving them that excuse. But if you were really allies, that's not that big of a deal. Notice this clip. This is from A Key of David, July 2018, of Mr. Fleury basically making that same point again, clip 10.
And what it's going to do is to wreck NATO, and that's really the very purpose of it. Why would they want to wreck NATO? Well, I think you could see why Vladimir Putin would want to wreck NATO, but so does Germany, because they're thinking about the Holy Roman Empire and having their own power now, and they've just about maybe gotten all they can from America, so they're ready to move on and have 10 kings rise up in Europe and build an awesome power according to Bible prophecy.
They want their own power. They want to be their own superpower. They want the capability to do what President Trump did in Venezuela. They want to be able to do that. They want power. And again, Donald Trump is more than happy for them to have it. You know, we'll worry about our neighborhood. You take over your neighborhood. And Bible prophecy says that's a big, big mistake. Here's another clip from France 24 talking about the back and forth between the U.S. and the EU. This is clip 6.
So the problem for Europe at the moment is that it's, you know, caught between a rock and a hard place, between the potential of interference from two world powers, the U.S. and Russia, and the U.S. no longer being, you know, the umbrella, the security umbrella, the security blanket that Europe always counted on.
And that's
really disturbing.
As you've been arguing, in your view, Europe rather weak here, certainly looking very divided with different EU countries, saying different things towards Donald Trump.
All of this is revealing the many cracks that exist within, you know, within the European Union, right? Politically and all sorts of ways. We've seen the resurgence of a populist right across the whole bloc, which is really problematic and which has fed into mainstream politics. I mean, your question's a really good one, and I can't answer it. Who knows? Perhaps a US direct threat to Greenland might produce some kind of unifying effect in Europe. It's hard to say. And I would say also, I mean, let's just go back briefly to Latin America. I mean, you know, Latin America, as Porfirio Diaz said, you know, it's misfortune being so far from God and so close to the United States. What has Europe got to offer to our partners in Latin America? Are we going to show solidarity and respect for democratic norms with them? Or are we just going to kowtow to Donald Trump? And that seems to be, you know, well, it's a huge problem for European diplomacy. I can't resolve it. And it certainly doesn't seem to be being resolved right now.
A lot of interesting points that he brings up. The cracks within the European Union, the disagreement. Trump is a unifying force for Europe. They view him as an enemy. And if he attacks Greenland and he won't support Ukraine the way they want, even though he has been, They'll use that as a pretext to rearm, to unify, to pare down to 10 kings, maybe. He said a U.S. direct threat to Greenland might produce some kind of unifying effect in Europe. He made another fascinating comment about Latin America being far from God and close to the United States. I assume he's probably referring to their Catholic roots. They need to be closer to Europe. They need to be closer to the Holy Roman Empire. Even mentioning democratic norms in South America after what Maduro did. You see that division. You see that seething pot in Europe. Europe wants their own Donald Trump. They want their own strongman. And Donald Trump wants Europe to have a strongman. Donald Trump wants the rest of the world to be able to handle itself, essentially. It's a huge trap that, again, Donald Trump is basically setting for himself, setting for the United States. God is orchestrating all of it. And the only solution, as we've said, is repentance. That's what God is looking for in all of this. And you see just how confused the United States is. There's a lot of conservatives. There's a lot of people around Trump who love this AfD party in Germany and think, well, they want for their country the same thing we want for ours, so we're allies. The AfD, they're proud of Germany. They don't like the United States. They might say that. They might have some nice sounding words, but that's incredibly dangerous to look at that party as an ally, to look at them and to say, well, we're part of the same group. You see the Bible, the way God describes all these things, it's so perfect, the terminology he uses describing our nations. He calls them a silly dove. And then he calls Germany and the Holy Roman Empire a seething pot. Jeremiah 1 and verse 13 is where you can find that. It's a seething pot. Mr. Fleury writes in an article, Why Germany Just Betrayed America. This is January 2022. He says, Jeremiah 1 and verse 13 records God showing the prophet a vision of a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. This symbolic language is describing modern Germany. Beneath the surface, that nation is full of simmering dissatisfaction with the current world order. Germans are angry at the United States. The imperialistic ambition that prompted Germany to start both world wars is alive and well. It is seething. You see that? You can see it, like I'll read in the next quote here. Well, America gets to do that. We want to be able to do that. It's the same sort of talk that they would have before World War I. I'll conclude with one final, this quote from the New Throne of David booklet. If you don't have this, request a free copy. I wanted to promote this book because it does put, along with the United States and Britain in prophecy, it gives you all of the main players, including God's church, and how it all kind of comes together. What's happening here impacts what's happening in the world. The New Throne of David, Mr. Fleury, this is in chapter 5, he says, the seething pot out of the north is a German-led Holy Roman Empire that is going to destroy the nations of Israel and Judah. You can see it building. You can see the pot seething right now in Europe. God twice asked Jeremiah, what do you see? Mr. Fleury says, this is something you can see. Do you see what is happening in Europe? It is a seething pot of hatred and revenge toward Israel. They are looking for their strongman so they can cause all that economic, political, and military power to reach unparalleled heights. This is a seething pot of nuclear war. A couple issues ago in the trumpet, the one with the dove on the cover, I think it was Mr. Palmer and Josue Michels had an article, Trump versus Europe. This is what's coming. Request a copy of The New Throne of David and United States and Britain in Prophecy. If you haven't, you need to see the big picture. You need to see what God wants in all of this. We'll go ahead and move now into playing this episode 2 of The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. It's titled Blow the Dust Off of Your Bible. You're getting a sneak peek. I think it's meant to air this Friday or this next weekend. So enjoy this episode of The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send that to td@thetrumpet.com. I took you a few minutes over, but I think you'll enjoy that program. You won't mind the few minutes over at all. Again, send any feedback or comments to td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
Why is it, my friends, that we find that we're brought up in this world today believing that we have the Christian teaching, believing in Christianity, and that Christianity is the religion of our Western world, and yet, when we have the courage to blow the dust off the Bible and look into it, we find we have been brought up to believe exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. Why is it, my friends, that today we believe we're Christians, which means we should be followers of Christ, and we find we're doing anything but following Christ? We're following customs exactly opposite of those that Christ followed. We are believing teachings that are the exact antithesis of those which Jesus taught. Now, why? What's wrong? I tell you, it's about time we began to open our eyes. And once again, I say, get your own Bible. Open your Bible and see this with your own eyes.
Don't take my word for it. That's what Herbert Armstrong said way back in the 1960s on his radio broadcast, The World Tomorrow. He said, see for yourself. Look into the Bible for yourself. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source of information regarding Jesus Christ and his teachings, and that would be the Holy Bible, God's Word. The scriptures say that the Bible was given by inspiration from God. It's inspired. Only God could bring together something like 40 authors over the span of, what was it, 1,500, 1,600 years? And you see a consistency all the way through. It's beautiful, the most important book that there is. And God gave it to us as an instruction manual. He created us, and then he sent the instruction manual along with his created product, if you can call it that. But most people, as you just heard there from Herbert Armstrong, they don't use the Bible. They don't even look into it to prove all things, as Paul wrote. Notice Luke 6 and verse 46. This is what Jesus said to many of his followers. They followed him around during his ministry. They observed a lot of the miracles. And Christ said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say?" A lot of people in the first century, I mean, they felt pretty righteous because they were following Jesus Christ around. And Christ said, "Look, why are you calling me Lord or Master? And you're not doing what I say to do." I mean, you see these kinds of examples throughout the scriptures. If you fast forward into Paul's ministry, he encountered some higher ups in the Roman hierarchy, Roman leaders in the Roman Empire, Festus, Agrippa, Felix, and they all listened to Paul. And in the case of Felix, I mean, Agrippa really was the same way. They liked the message. A lot of people liked the message that came from Jesus Christ, or at least hearing it. They certainly liked the miracles, but they weren't doers. In the case of Felix, in the book of Acts, you can see that he actually trembled before Paul and the inspired truth of God, God's word. Tacitus says that Felix ruled with a mixture of cruelty, lust, and servility. He committed every sort of crime with impunity. And yet when Paul brought him the true gospel that Jesus Christ preached, Felix trembled. He knew it was the truth. He knew it was from God. And he knew that God was calling upon him to repent of his wicked ways. And he wasn't willing to do that. Staying here in Luke 6, notice this, verse 47 says, "Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock." I mean, this is such a beautiful picture that Jesus is painting here. When we do what God commands, whether it's for our individual lives or in our families, the more we do, the more grounded and settled we are on that sure foundation. It brings stability into our lives. Living according to the teachings of Christ. God gave us this instruction so that we might live like he does and be blessed as a result of that. Verse 49 says, "But he that hears and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." If we're hearers only, hearing without doing is like building a house without a foundation. I mean, it may look nice when the weather's nice, when it's nice outside, but as soon as the first storm comes along, everything collapses. I want to play another clip. This, again, is from Herbert Armstrong in one of his old broadcasts, clip 2.
"So I say, don't believe any man. Your own Bible tells you that many false prophets are gone out into the world today. Not one single false prophet, while all the rest are right. But there are many false prophets. Where are we supposed to get all of the truth anyway? They all claim to get it out of the Bible. That is the one textbook used by what we call Christianity in this Western world. Why is it then that we don't hear the Bible preached? Why is it then that we don't have the Bible given to us straight and honest and clear exactly as it is? Why is it that we find the Bible turned upside down? Why is it that we find it maligned, mutilated, misrepresented, lied about? Until when we look at it with our own eyes, we find in it exactly the opposite of what we have been taught that it said. So I ask you, put this thing to the test. The Bible itself tells you, prove all things. And you prove it by looking into the Bible, which is the Word of God.
That last reference there is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things. Prove everything. And don't forget about the last part of that verse. Hold fast to the truth. I mean, God's truth is exactly that. It's from God. I mentioned 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In the previous chapter, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul says there that we need to study. Study the word. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, this is a command. You see this kind of admonition all through the Bible. I recently went through a class going through Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. We'll get to that later on this program. But there's all these admonitions. You know, when you pray, do it this way. When you fast, do it this way. When you serve, do it this way. God doesn't say, you know, if you get around to it. Christ speaks of it as if, well, this is just what a Christian does. You have to look into the Bible. In Acts 17, it talks about the Bereans over there. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was teaching them was true. And in that passage, Luke writes that these people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they were more diligent in their Bible study. I mean, that's a sign of nobility, of royalty. If you really get grounded in the scriptures and you walk by faith in being a doer of these words, there's authority there. There's power there because it's God's. God is the maker, the creator. He's the lawgiver. James 4 and verse 12, this brochure right here, the authority of the Bible. It's actually taken from our 36-lesson Bible correspondence course, and we'd like for you to call our operators today and request a free copy. It's actually a collection of three or four articles about the Bible, and hopefully it will inspire you to dig into the Bible. I mean, that word search in Acts 17, that means to dig, to be diligent. I mean, you're seeking after God's truth. There's another verse, Matthew 6:33. You're probably familiar with that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We've got to be diligent seekers. We've got to go after the truth. On this program, we're probably going to refer you to our 36-lesson correspondence course often, because we really want for you, as you heard there at the top, to blow the dust off your Bible, to stop letting it collect dust on the shelf. Go get it off the shelf and open the book and read the book, study the book. This course will help you to do that. It will help you to get to know the Bible, to get to know the teachings of Christ. As I went through last week, I mean, there's just so many myths and misconceptions, all based on the traditions of men. None of it, or at least most of it, not much of it is based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible. That's why you've got to dig in for yourself and prove it, and then hold on to it. You can't forget the last part of that verse over in 1 Thessalonians. So many of God's people in these last days, they've let go of the truth. They lost their first love. They didn't love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that God sent strong delusion to test their love. God is testing us. God wants to see if we really and truly love it. There's another passage. You can look at this later. John 8, verses 31 and 32. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, then are you my disciples indeed? You're not a disciple of Christ unless you're continuing in the Word of God, God's truth, Christ's teachings. I mean, that shows, again, that we have to know the Bible. We have to dig into the Bible. Verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Last week on this program, we talked about, again, many of the myths that there are about Jesus, his teachings. And another one of those is that Jesus did not come the first century to start a soul-saving crusade. He wasn't out there desperately trying to save as many souls as he could before it was too late. It's just the opposite of what most people think. John 1 and verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." The world crucified him. Why doesn't John say, you know, most people didn't know him, or about half, you know, they rejected him? John says the whole world did not know him. That's in John 1 and verse 10. Read it. Read it in your own Bible. John 3 and verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, God's own Son, walked this earth. He was proclaiming the truth, the true gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And John plainly writes, and you know, John's writing this 50 or 60 years on from Jesus Christ's actual ministry, his earthly ministry. And he had a long time to look back and to consider the big picture. And he said, yeah, the light came into the world, but men love darkness. They prefer darkness because the light exposes their sins. And we don't want to repent of sin. We want to continue in sin and then pretend that we're pretty good and we're righteous anyway. Christ did not come on a soul-saving crusade. This quote I have for you is from Mystery of the Ages. It's toward the beginning of that book. And Herbert Armstrong, just to give you a little backstory, he wrote this in the last year of his life. He was 93 years of age. He said it was the most important and significant thing he ever wrote. You can call our operators for that particular book as well. It was written in 1985. And we fought 6 years in court because those that continued on after Herbert Armstrong died in 1986, they destroyed his work, his teachings, and they wanted to prevent everyone from ever reading Mystery of the Ages. So we were engaged in a six-year lawsuit, litigation, to try to distribute the truth of God. Satan hates the truth. Satan wants to bury the truth. Satan wants to blot it out. In Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong says, "Even in these past 58 years, I had not fully and clearly realized the significance of the fact revealed in Genesis 3, 22 through 24, that in fact God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until the removal of Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ." He says traditional Christian teaching had always assumed that there was a contest between God and Satan, that God has been trying desperately to get the world saved. But in this great controversy, Satan has been winning. In other words, God had sent Jesus Christ at his first coming to try to win this ongoing war against Satan. Traditional Christianity has taught that whosoever will may come and be saved through Jesus. But that's not true. John 6:44 says that God has to call us out of this dark and evil world. So many misconceptions, so many distortions, so many myths. You can get into the Bible and study our correspondence course and come to know the truth if you're willing to be a doer, if you're willing to dig and prove all things, and then hold fast to it. Holding fast is in the doing. John 8, verses 30 and 31. Well, I think I read those, but that's how you That's how you continue as a disciple of Christ. Luke 12, let's look at this. Luke 12 and verse 31. I mean, really, if you look at the first century, if you look at Jesus's ministry, he spent 3.5 years primarily teaching 12 students. 12 students. But most people believe in this soul-saving crusade idea, and they assume that Christ came and started this huge universal church, and it spread into millions and millions and millions. But after 3.5 years, you look at Acts 1 and verse 15, and it says, as they were awaiting the Spirit of God at the Feast of Pentecost, that's in Acts 2. Most people have never heard of that. But it says there were only 120 disciples. Think of it. 3.5 years of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, teaching, proclaiming, calling for repentance and change. Only 120 true disciples. And there was, you know, there was a lot of growth in Acts 2 through 4, 5, 6. But you also see that there was intense persecution aimed at the church, the true church. And a lot of that came from religious people. I mean, look at the resistance Jesus faced from religious people, the elites of his day, the teachers, the scribes, the Pharisees. They hated it. They hated God's truth. This is in Luke 12, verse 31. It says, but rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. The Greek word for little there means small in number, size, and quantity. It's a scattered flock of sheep that need their shepherd to guide them to all truth and understanding and wisdom. Only a few are willing to go the straight and narrow way. You can read about that in Matthew 7. Herbert Armstrong often talked about the Christian life being the way that goes the narrow course, and it's the difficult, bumpy, rocky road. It's not easy to resist the pulls of the flesh, to resist against the devil, to come out of this dark world and to start obeying God's commands. When you pray, when you fast, when you serve, study to show yourself to be a good workman before God. Dig into the truth of God. See what the Holy Bible says. Blow the dust off of it. If you do, boy, your mind will open to the truth. It will be a mind-blowing experience. Because you'll see just how many of the traditions and teachings in traditional Christianity are completely opposite of what the Bible says. How could this be? Well, Revelation 12:9 says the whole world is deceived. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world, this present evil world. That's Galatians 1:4. Notice John 15, verse 18. It says, and if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This is Christ telling his disciples, look, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. And so many of them were martyred just like Jesus was. Peter, Paul, most all of them in the first century, the leaders, I mean. John was exiled, but still, he was in prison, basically, on an island. And that's where he wrote his epistles, his gospel, the book of Revelation. Servants of God, just out there proclaiming the truth, and they're on the run for it, basically. They're being persecuted. They're being martyred. If the world hates you, just know they hated me. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20 says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. They persecuted Christ. And Christ is telling his students, they're going to persecute you as well if you're faithful, if you're obedient. I said that there's all kinds of instances of persecution. there in the book of Acts. I mean, that was the first century. And somehow we think, well, we're so far along into this. We're 2,000 years down the road. And now everybody just universally, for the most part, in the West especially, but for the most part, people just accept Christianity. They're true Christians. They're followers of Christ. Are they? Are they praying earnestly every day? Are they searching the scriptures daily like the Bereans did? Do they fast to draw near to God, to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God? Are they resisting, actively resisting against the power, the influence of Satan the devil? Ephesians 2:2 says he's the prince of the power of the air. He surcharges the air with his influence. And honestly, if you're objective, how can you look at this world and say, yeah, there's just a, I think righteousness is spreading. No, actually, Jesus said that in the last days, it's going to be just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said in the last days, before his second coming, it's going to be like it was in the days before the flood of Noah's time. There's quite a few people, even in the world of traditional Christianity, that don't even believe those are actual events. Jesus did. He talked about them. So why should we dismiss them? Why should we just not believe? It happened, and Christ confirmed it. Yet people just don't have the faith to believe. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15 that all of them in Asia had turned away. They had fallen away from the truth. And you can look at Acts 8 and verse 1 and see how that there was a great persecution unleashed against the church. Acts 19, though, on the positive side, says that the message, the true gospel of Jesus Christ through Paul, it reached everybody in Asia. But then at the end of his life, he's telling Timothy, everybody in Asia left. Everybody in Asia rebelled. They didn't stay the course. They didn't hold fast. That has been the history. You can see it in the history of the church eras in Revelation 2 and 3. You have to fight for the truth. Paul even said that in 1 Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. You have to dig and prove, and then you have to go and put it into practice, and you've got to hold on, and you've got to fight for these truths. The point I've been trying to make these last couple of shows is that most popular beliefs about Jesus Christ and his teachings, they don't come from the Bible. I mean, there's an avalanche of information about Jesus, but we've got to tell you the truth. Most of it is misinformation. Most of it is not based on the Bible. So for you, the individual, you probably have a Bible in your home. If you want to learn about the real Jesus, if you want to learn about his teachings, well, where do you go? What source should you rely upon? You have to go to the Bible. You can't believe what some man says. You certainly can't believe what Hollywood says. They get it wrong all the time. You have to go to the source. That is the Holy Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 17, he said, beware of men. That was his warning to the true disciples of Christ. Beware. Beware of men. I just want to play for you one final clip. This is from, again, Mr. Armstrong's radio broadcast back in the day, clip 3.
Jesus was the Word, the spokesman, and God sent Jesus, and he spoke the words of God, and they wouldn't accept them. They didn't have those words abiding in them, neither do most of you today, my friends, because you won't receive them, because you don't want to do them, because they are profitable to correct you and reprove you, and you don't like to be changed and corrected and reproved. You don't like to have anyone tell you where you're wrong. Are his words abiding in you? He said they weren't in those to whom he was speaking at that time, these Pharisees. For whom he sent him, ye believe not. I speak his word, my friends. I speak it faithfully. Do you believe it when you hear it? It isn't what you've been hearing customarily in this world today. Do you believe what is common, what is customary, what the men believe and bandy about, or do you believe the word of God? It's in your Bible. Open your Bible and believe it there, not because I say it. And don't accept what I say unless you find it in your Bible. But when you find it there, believe it, my friends, because it's in the Word of God.
Open your Bible and believe it there. There's authority and power in the Holy Scriptures. Call our operators today and make sure you get this reprint article. And also, sign up for our correspondence course, our Bible correspondence course, 36 lessons, and get to know your Bible. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope that you'll join us next time.